السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ربنا وابعث فيهم رسولا منهم يتلو عليهم آياتك ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة ويزكيهم إنك أنت العزيز الحكيم. صدق الله العظيم. Hello my kiram, most respected brothers. You have been listening to the verses of the Quran Sharif and hadiths of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam and reading the literature on or listening to bayans and waaz on hajj, on qurbani, etc. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is the central figure when it comes to hajj, qurbani, etc. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam's story is well known. And in the short time that we have on a Jummah occasion, it's not even possible to discuss everything at length. If you have to look at the Quran Sharif, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has discussed, or Allah Ta'ala has related or mentioned many, many du'as of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. If we have to discuss the du'as of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, they also require days and days. Such depth there was in his du'as. Of the many du'as, but before we come to the du'a itself, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, we know that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam comes in his progeny. On one occasion, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam was asked by a person that, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, or in fact when he came he said, Ya Muhammad, because he had not as yet accepted Islam. He said that, first of all, who are you? So on different occasions when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was asked this question, he gave different answers. But to this particular person, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that, I am the dua of my forefather Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. That my forefather Ibrahim, he made dua, Allah Ta'ala must send a Nabi. So I am the result of that dua. Then he said that, I am the prediction of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, as the Quran Sharif mentions, that Isa alayhi salatu wasalam predicted, and he told the people, وَمُبَشِّرًا بِرَسُولٍ يَأْتِي مِن بَعْدِ اسْمُهُ أَحْمَدٍ. So without going into any tafsir, he predicted or he foretold, and he told his people, that I'm giving you the glad tiding of a Nabi that is going to come after me, and his name is going to be Ahmad. So he said that is the second thing. And the third thing is that I am the dream of my mother. His mother, Hazrat Amina, when she was expecting Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there were many, many miracles that she saw. One of it was that this light or noor, it came out of her body and it lit up the palaces of Syria far, far away. Meaning that this deen of Islam and this message of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, it will reach distant places and all these places will come under the subjugation of the Muslim Ummah. So he mentioned all these things. So the person said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, or Ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam, said, if I have to accept Islam, now that is what you are, but that you are the Rasul of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, according to the dua of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, But what will I get if I have to accept your deen? Now they were frank, they were openly asking Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that what will we get? Now here again, if you have to look at the hadiths of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, different people when they asked this question, different answers were given. In other words, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did not just paint with one brush everybody. And the tarbiyah of a person was according to his need and requirement. Every person's tarbiyah and tazkiyah is not made in the same manner. That person who comes to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam, by means of wahi, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala used to inform him that what is the genuine need of this person and what is the appropriate reply to this person's question. Therefore you will find this throughout the hadiths of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and this is what confuses a lot of people sometimes. They say that one place Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when he is asked what is iman, he says something else. When he asks some another person asks him the same question, he says something else. Somebody asks him which is the best of all deeds, then he says salat. Somebody asks him what is the best of all deeds, he says something else. And somebody asks him what is the best of all deeds, then he says something else. So this is contradiction in the hadith sharif. So there's no contradiction at all. It is in accordance with the need of the person that came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and in accordance with the understanding of that person. What is the sense of talking to a person beyond his understanding? Sometimes a person can give a very philosophical speech, but it is beyond the understanding of the audience, then what is the benefit of that? So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, this person, when he asked Rasul Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam that, if I have to accept this deen of yours, then what will I get? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, At-tamakkun fil ard, what you will get is government on this land. Now that is what all of us are clamoring for, and everywhere that is the call, that we want government, we want government. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's beloved Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that Allah ta'ala will establish you on that land, He will give you government. He will give you dominance. He will give you rule. You will be the masters when you accept this Islam. And this promise of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was fulfilled. The Sahaba ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhu ajma'in, if you have to read their history, then we can see that it was fulfilled. The mighty empires fell at their feet. Allah ta'ala gave them that government. And the Quran Sharif also promised this. There are ayats of the Quran Sharif also. There's no time in which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has promised, وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. So if you read that ayat also, Allah ta'ala is promising them istikhlaf on earth. So the days of elections are coming, so there is nothing wrong. A person should use his intellect and choose sometimes the lesser of the two devils and sometimes the better of the two persons. It just depends. But there is nothing wrong, because we are living in a country where we have also rights. We are citizens of the country. So people say that how can you go and vote? It's a subject altogether that we can discuss at length. But we have reliable traditions. And if you look at our ancestors, and if you look at our predecessors, and our pious elders of the past, then they have also taken part in government, realizing that that is a corridor where if your voice is heard, then it can have great impact. But at the same time, they were extremely careful that they did not compromise their deen and Islam. They did not compromise their deen and Islam. They did not say that if it's integration, that we must be integrated in such a manner that finish we lose our Islam and we do not have any kind of sign left of that Islam. And that is the major problem that is with our society. That when we talk of government, when we talk of so many other issues, then we will quote Quranic verses and we'll quote hadiths and we'll quote examples of how people participated in these structures. But they will forget that those people, although they participated, but there was always salat in their lives. They can be in parliament, they can be in cabinet, they can be anywhere. They were distinguished by their sifats of Islam. There was no question of being unrecognizable, that whether this person is a Muslim or somebody else. They maintained their dignity and their honor at all cost. And they led by example that the non-Muslims were forced to observe and see something different in these Muslims that were in those political structures. There was a meeting that we had with the ex-president Mandela in Cape Town over some of the issues that were relevant when they were formulating the new constitution. And there were other matters that were being discussed about homosexuality and abortion and all these things which the government at that stage was thinking of implementing and bringing about as legislation. Wallah, I'm in the masjid. I always say this to convince you that I'm not speaking a lie. Mandela told us personally, he says, I was many, many years in Robben Island, and who doesn't know that? And he says, it was a Muslim doctor who tried to convince me that there is nothing wrong with homosexuality. He used the word, it was a Muslim doctor. How we must have felt at that time. So there's nothing wrong with going into those structures, but for what? Not just to line our pockets. Not just to get name and fame. Not just to get the perks to travel in first class and get all the other VIP treatment. It was there for service. How many do we really find that are there for service? In one election in India, one person, he stood up as a candidate. He was in the government. This was the third election. And he said, let me tell you the truth. You rather vote for me. Because the first time when you voted me in, I was concerned about myself. And I did everything to secure my future. The second time when you voted me in, then I worked for my family and my friends. And I did everything that I could, I'm honest, to secure them. So now if you are going to vote somebody else, he's going to start first from himself, then his family, and then he'll come to you. So you'd rather vote for me so that I can start from you now. I can start serving you. So this is the setup. So Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that Hazrat Ibrahim, I'm the result of that dua that he made. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam told this sahabi, when he accepted Islam, after that he accepted, but this is what he said, Allah ta'ala will give you government on land. So government, we know that it is a need of the Muslim ummah, because you can implement laws after that according to the Sharia if there is a Muslim government. But again, the unfortunate and sad part is that when Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave the Muslims governments, so many countries we say they are Muslim governments, Muslim countries. But what did they do? What did they implement? Nevertheless, I was talking about the du'as of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, and we went somewhere else. So Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, of his many du'as, one of the du'a is, Rabbana wab'ath fihim rasulam minhum. O Allah, raise a messenger, a prophet, from amongst them. What must he do? Yatlu alayhim ayatik. He will rehearse, he will recite the verses of the Quran Sharif. Your kalam, your words, he must recite to them. That will be his first duty and function. That means that Nabi that you send, the first function and duty of his must be the recitation of the verses of the Quran. Your ayat, your signs, you will rehearse to them. Your words. وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابِ. And he will teach them the book. Again, if we have to go into tafsir, it will require a lot of time, but just to give you the gist of it, وَالْحِكْمَةِ. If you have to look at all the different explanations that have been given, the conclusion is one, and that is the teachings of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his sunnah, although we translate it as wisdom, and many different explanations have been given, but it boils down to one thing, the sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. What was his sunnah? Now that also was going to be taught. It was something that he had to teach to the people, that this is my sunnah. And the person had to have a good understanding of that sunnah. Now again here one something comes to mind, that for the past 2 or 3 years, I clipped my mustache during these 10 days. And yet you will read in the pamphlets and you will hear in the bayans that it is that the person that intends doing qurbani, then for the 10 days he should emulate those people in ihram and he should not do so. So we have to always understand everything. Why is the person undertaking a certain action? All my life I never trimmed. Why suddenly for the past 2-3 years? The reason for that is when a sunnat or a mustahab reaches the stage of compulsion, that when people begin to criticize, mock, ridicule, or consider themselves superior to someone else who is not making amal on a mustahab. It is a mustahab according to some fuqaha and jurists, and it is sunnat according to others. It is not wajib and farz. You'll get great reward, great sawab in emulating, and we should emulate. And those who are my friends, I tell them that you must still keep it. However, when people started questioning, and they began to make it so important that if a person for some reason or the other he had to clip or he had to trim, then he was considered to be inferior or he was criticized or he was mocked that you are not following the sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So then at such a time it becomes necessary for those who are leading the ummah, for those who are muqtada, that now and again they must also go do, obey or follow another sunnah. Or by practical action explain that this is not farz, it is not wajib. That is the only reason. Hazrat Maulana, and it is very important here that we understand something, that sometimes a certain action, we must not just accept it, just because it is from our shaykh or from our alim or from somebody else, without inquiring or querying why the person is doing that. Hazrat Maulana Abrarul Haq Sahab Damat Barakatuhum, a great alim, a great muttaqi shaykh, a kamil, he was in Mina, and he was in a state of ihram. And whilst in a state of ihram, he was clipping his nails. Now you can look at any kitab, you will find in there, in the maslas of hajj, because that was ihram, it was not for qurbani. In the state of ihram, it's not permissible to clip the nails. So now if one of his murids or the others that were around him, if they all remain silent, and they said that our shaykh was clipping his nails in the state of ihram, so now that became the masla and that became the rule. Therefore we all should start clipping too. Then they will go astray, they will be misguided. The shaykh is only to be followed if he leads according to the Qur'an and sunnah. If he makes any amal which is against the Qur'an and sunnah, then must find out. And do not obey if he insists that you must make amal on that. Because then he's not a shaykh kamil. He's a shaitan who's misleading. So now here a great shaykh and he's clipping his nails. It was something that was baffling. So his ustad, the late Hazrat Mufti Mahmud Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, was also amongst them. In that group, when he saw his student doing this, so he said, Hazrat, kya kar rahe ho? Because it was his student, so he had the courage. He said, Hazrat, kya kar rahe ho? Why are you clipping your nails? Now what was his reply? His reply was, mujhe bilkul khyal nahi raha. I completely forgot that I was in ihram. In other words, he was so absorbed, his mind and heart and soul must have been somewhere else, that in that state he accidentally took out the clipper and began to clip nails. Now you can see that that action was due to forgetfulness. It was not a deliberate action, on which of course he had to give dhamm. He still had to give dhamm. But he was not sinful, and it was not something that he was telling the people that you must also do so. So Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he says that, O Allah, send amongst them a messenger, a prophet, who will rehearse, who will recite the verses of the Quran, who will teach them the book, who will teach them wisdom and make their tazkiyah, he will purify them. Now each of these things requires hours and hours of explanation, but just to conclude in a minute or two, that although Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala could have just sent the book, he could have just sent the book, The Sahaba Kiram radiallahu anhum ajma'in, they were Arabs, they were eloquent in their speeches, they were great poets, they knew the language, they could speak the language fluently, eloquently. So there was no need to send someone to demonstrate and explain to them that how do you make amal on this book. But Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala sent a Rasul together with the book. And that is what we have to learn, that there has to be a teacher, there has to be a guide, there has to be someone who will teach us what is in the Quran Sharif. Just because it is in English, it is not sufficient. Medical books are in English, law books are in English, all kinds of books are in English. But up till now, not one person after studying those books has been admitted in the bar. Or he can go and fight a case and say, I know more than the attorneys because I've read up so much of books on law. Some people know so much, they know more than even those attorneys. But still they say that, where did you qualify from? So any book being in English is not sufficient. And this is where Bukhari Sharif, Tirmizi Sharif, Muslim Sharif, Abu Dawud Sharif, all these kitabs are being translated into English and people are picking up these books. And when they pick it up, they read those hadiths, and there's nothing wrong to read it, there's nothing wrong. But we should not come to conclusions on the basis of our understanding. Because those are translations, many, many places, they require an explanation. If the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu anhu ajma'in had to ask Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam for explanation, in spite of knowing Arabic. Now here the person does not know a word of Arabic, and he claims that I am an authority on Islam. And he quotes the Quran Sharif and Hadith Sharif just to justify his evil actions and deeds. So in these days of Qurbani, and especially now that all the Hujjaj are in Mina, and they will be proceeding to Arafat, the nur of that place and the rahmat that is descending there, and which will pour tomorrow, it's not only going to be limited to Mina and Arafat. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala causes it to spread throughout the world. And as you have read in the literature, and you must have heard many times, and I also mentioned in the bayans, that on the day of Arafah, the 9th of Zilhijjah, or according to the calendar, wherever it is the 9th of Zilhijjah, it is the Yawm Arafah. If you have to fast, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala forgives the sins of the past year and the coming year, meaning the minor sins. For all the major sins, the person has to make sincere tawbah, ask Allah for sincere forgiveness. Otherwise, again I repeat, Billi ninnanwe chuhe khakar haj ko chali. After devouring 99 rats, the cat proceeded to Arafat to make tawbah. So devouring the properties of orphans, widows, not paying whatever one's dues are, and then presenting oneself in Arafat and tearing there from morning till evening, will not make any person maaf. Already 5 people have shown me, some have shown me the PDCs, and some have told me, 2 have told me, that Maulana, that person is gone for Hajj. And he's owing me so much of money. And every time that I have to ask him for the money, he says, I haven't got it. Give me time. And he's there in Hajj. Now this kind of Hajj, does it bring about any change? May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us proper understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.